Greetings. Welcome to the Joy of Discovery radio program, brought to you by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter, and it's great to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery. And as I remind you every week, I'll do it again this week, that if you would ever desire a copy of any of our CDs, any of our programs, the CDs are absolutely free. All you need to do is write to us. Whenever you write to us, make sure you include the date of the program that you desire. Write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. And I'll get you that address again at the end of the program. Before we get to our Bible study today, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, in our journey that we've been taking here at the Joy of Discovery through your word, Father, we are in a passage of scripture that is so prevalent for today. For Lord, it talks of the tribulation period, which it, Father, as we look around in our world today, it seems as though the stage is definitely being set for that tribulation period. So Lord, my prayer today would be this, that if there's somebody that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that through this program, that they would come to know Him, that they would put their faith in Jesus, trusting Him in His finished work upon the cross for the payment for their salvation. So Lord, now we'll commit this study to you, and we pray that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would be magnified and glorified in all that's said and done, and we pray it in His name. Amen. You can open up your Bible to Revelation chapter 9, if you would. Revelation chapter 9, that's where we will be today. Good to be with you today. Just a reminder before I get into the study about our website. If you ever want to check out any of the studies, any of these studies even, they are listed there. This is Revelation study number 48. If you were to go in and you were to go into the archives, you'll find that on our website, but you go to claysburgbiblechurch.com and that'll pull all of that up. Or if you're ever interested in tuning in to any of our messages after they are archived on YouTube, you can go to my YouTube channel. You'll find a link of that also under the sermons on our website on the claysburgbiblechurch.com. That'll take you right to my YouTube channel where I upload all the messages, so you could go there and tune in if you desire. Okay, today we're coming back here to our study in the book of Revelation. Last week, whenever we were together, we looked at Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 12, and it was in these verses that we were able to see the first woe which came upon the earth dwellers during the tribulation. There was a warning given at the end of Revelation 8, concerning three woes which were to come upon the earth dwellers. Let me read 8:13. Here's what it says. And behold, and no, it says, and I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. So there are three woes mentioned in 8:13. The first of the three woes included the demons which were released from the abyss in Revelation chapter 9, 1 through 12, which we looked at last week. John called them locusts. They were not natural locusts. They were demonic spirits or fallen angels, which have been locked up since the days of Noah and will then be released in the tribulation period. They will be restricted in their activity, for they will not be permitted to harm the vegetation, but will only be permitted to torment those who have not received the seal of God in their foreheads. Let me read 4 through 6. Here's what it says of Revelation 9. It was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which had not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And the torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. They will be able to inflict terrible pain, but not to the point of death. These creatures also will be impossible to escape, and they will be unstoppable. In Joel chapter 2, verses 5 through 9, we read this. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, is a strong people set in battle array. This is the description of Revelation 9, verses 1 through 12, by the way. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like the mighty men. They shall climb the wall like a man, like men of war. They shall march everyone on his ways. They shall not break their ranks, neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every man in his path, and they shall fall upon the sword. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city, and shall run upon the wall, and they shall climb up upon the houses, and then they shall enter in at the windows like a thief. Devastating. Absolutely devastating judgment. It's no wonder it is the first of the woes. When these demons are released, that woe will be set forth in the earth. Watch verse 12 of Revelation chapter 9, if you would. It says this. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. The next woe will be the sixth trumpet judgment, and the third woe will be the seventh trumpet judgment, which will contain all of the bowl or the vial judgments in that seventh trumpet. So let us get to the next trumpet, the sixth trumpet now. Watch verse 13. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. I want to stop right there for a moment. That verse is very important. Let me read it one more time. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. This verse is very, very interesting. I want to refresh your memory on a few things before we proceed. When you and I read over this verse, we would be quick to skip over the mention of the golden altar and the horns. But to the Jews who would read over this, it would have been something which would have much more meaning. Let us keep in mind that in the tribulation, God will be working with the nation of Israel. The tribulation will not involve the church, for the church is raptured before the tribulation. The body of Christ will be complete, and God will go back to work with his people Israel again. Daniel 9:24 says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon the Jews, and upon thy holy city, to finish transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Daniel's people, that's who it's going to come on, would not be the church, but Daniel's people would be Israel. The church will be gone, and that is why the 144,000 Jewish men from the 12 tribes are sealed, for they will be missionaries during the tribulation. So getting back to the thought of God working with the nation of Israel, this statement about the golden altar and the horns is here to get the attention of the people of Israel during the tribulation. Let me explain the meaning here. There were four horns on the golden altar, one on each corner. The horns on the altar were considered to be a place of mercy. If someone sought safety and mercy, he would run to the golden altar and he would hold tightly to the horns. 1 Kings chapter 1, 50 and 51 say this. And Adonijah feared because of Solomon and arose and went and caught hold on the horns of the altar. And it was told Solomon, saying, behold, Adonijah feareth King Solomon, for lo, he hath caught hold on the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear unto me today that he will not slay his servant with the sword. So the horns of the altar speak of mercy, but here in the text before us, John hears a voice coming from the place of mercy. It's a voice of judgment. To the people of Israel, this is a warning. The mercy and grace will not always be available. When the angel sounds his trumpet, it will be an announcement that mercy has been replaced with judgment. Let me read that verse again. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Verse 2 says, sing to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And that's going to unleash a tremendous judgment. Let me make an application here about the fact of this being an announcement that mercy and grace will not always be available. Bring it into your life for a moment. In Genesis chapter 6, God spoke words that should cause every person to just stop what they're doing and consider their life. Genesis 6, 3 says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. God may be striving with you today concerning your salvation. He may have been striving with you for a while, but you keep resisting the offer. You keep saying, God, no, I don't want this now in my life. I don't want to give up what I have because you like your sin. And so you are struggling with this and you have been suppressing God's work in your life. You've been suppressing the striving of the Spirit. I want you to understand that a spirit will not continue to strive with you. You can go so far as to cut off all your opportunities to be saved. You suppress his truth, you harden your heart more and more and more. You, according to Romans 1, you sink into a spiritual spiral down deeper and deeper into the darkness as you reject God's Spirit striving with you. And he will not come to Christ. Listen, Genesis 6:3, my spirit shall not always strive with man. If God's Spirit ceases to strive with you, you're done. You're done. Don't let that get away. Don't let that get away. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. You need to be saved. Let me get you to the army now. Watch verse 14 of Revelation 9. Saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Here we see that there's a command given to set free the four angels which are bound in the Euphrates River. Last week we looked at the angels who are bound in the abyss. Here we see that even today there are four angels bound in the great river Euphrates. Some of the fallen angels who followed Satan were bound in the abyss and some were placed in the Euphrates. This is the four that were placed here for a specific purpose. Watch verse 15. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared, okay, here we go, for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. These angels were locked up for some 4,000 years for a specific time, which is the tribulation, when God will use them as his instruments of judgment. They will be given power over a third part of the world's population to kill them. Let me remind you that there were four angels in the river Euphrates, and the number four speaks of global aspects. So this judgment that is about to take place here is global. Watch verse 16. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. And heard the number of them. Stop right there. Here we see that the four angels are set free. They will lead an army of 200 million horsemen. This army is most likely a demonic army. They're led by fallen angels. And there's no place in Scripture where demons are said to lead a human army. This event here, now listen to this, it's not the same as we will later see and study in Revelation 16. In 16:12, we read this, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. That's not the same event, so don't get this confused. This, what's going on here in chapter 9 is completely different. Let me go back. Let me read verse 16 again. And a number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard a number of them. The word thousand here can also be an innumerable number. When Satan fell, he took with him one-third of the angels. Now, let me give you an idea about how many angels there are. Revelation 5:11 says this, "And I beheld, and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne, and beasts, and elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands." There are an infinite number of angels. And therefore, one-third of infinity is infinity. The point I'm making is that this demonic army here in Revelation 9 is beyond number. The four angels will organize a demonic army that will sweep the face of the earth and will kill one-third of the world's population. Inescapable. This is in addition to the one-fourth that will die under the seal judgments. Remember, we talked about those previously, by the famine and the wars, the sword, and by the beasts of the earth, and by the sickness and disease, all of that. This now, with combined that in Revelation 6, combined with what goes on here in Revelation 9, puts a total to over one half of the world's population. One of the problems faced during this time is going to be, no doubt, disposing of bodies. There will be, no doubt, mass graves, incineration. I think a lot, whenever it gets so far in the tribulation period, that a lot of these bodies are going to be left lay right where they die, right where their life ends, they will lay. You can just only imagine the stench and the problems that will arise from that. Let me show you their power, the power of the army. Watch 17 and 18. "Thus I saw the horses in the vision, them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and of brimstone, and heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths." The riders are demonic and the horses are demonic as well. It is the horses that kill people with fire, smoke, and brimstone. Now, there are many who want to say that these horses are tanks. John didn't have the language of our day, so he compares them to horses. That's not correct. This is to be taken literally. If John were searching for something to describe a tank, don't you think it would have been better to say it looked like a chariot or something like that? One man said this, "The problem we have with prophecy is that we desire to always pour it into our day and age instead of allowing God to bring it to pass in his time." And that's the case. A lot of people have gotten in trouble because they want to pour it into their age. When we get a little bit deeper here in chapter 11, we're going to see the two witnesses that are going to be described for us. And we're going to see that they're going to lay in the streets for 3 days, and then they're going to rise, and we're going to see that they're seen by the world. They're going to be seen by the world whenever they rise up. And a lot of people, I remember reading a commentary years ago, and one man said that had to be a misprint because there's no way the whole world could see them. Well, now we know through cell phones that is extremely possible. So I say that to say this. We got to be careful. You can't take Revelation 9 and you can't try to pour it into our day. You can't try to fit it into the mold of our day. You got to let God fulfill his prophecy. Watch verse 19 now. Watch this. "For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents, and their heads and had heads, and with them they do hurt." It's a description of the horses, and I share these verses from Joel last week, which allowed us to see that Joel was permitted to see what was taking place in Revelation 9, 1 through 11. Listen to verses 1 through 11 of Joel chapter 2. Joel said, blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, and there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses and a horseman. So shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains, they shall leap like the noise of flames of fire that devoureth the stubble as the strong people in a battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break the ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every man in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide? Okay, so listen to me. The words of Joel apply not only to trumpet number 5, but also to trumpet number 6. Joel's been permitted to see into the future, to be able to see this. So he describes one of the most frightening scenes that I think that you will ever find in the Bible about these armies. The demonic army that comes out of the abyss, this army that is this demonic army here that is orchestrated and put together by these four fallen angels that come out of the river Euphrates that kill 1/3 of the world's population. Let me show you the foolishness of the earth dwellers. Watch 20 and 21 of Revelation 9. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, after that third of the population dies, yet repented not of their works of their hands, they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorrows, sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. These two verses contain a lot of information about life during the tribulation. But what we need to see here is how these people have witnessed the death over half of the world's population, but they still refuse to repent. If we slow down and we look closely at the list of sins listed here, we can see how rapidly our society is moving toward the tribulation period. They continue in the works of their hands. That's one thing that is said in verse 20. The rest of the men which were not killed by the plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands. Listen to the words of Garland on this statement. And I quote, the problem is not men's hands, but rather the will of men which motivates their hands. Their will is opposed to God, and therefore what they produce by their hands does not glorify God, but rather reflects their own selfishness and sin. In the end, without God's Holy Spirit, men become creative perverts, dangerous geniuses, bent on creating their own hell in pursuit of what they incorrectly perceive to be wisdom and intelligence. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. Unquote. So they won't repent of the works of their hands, which they use to work against God. They won't repent of their demon worship. 3, their idolatry. They had idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood. They won't repent of their murders. There's always been murders, but in the tribulation that this is going to increase, as those who refuse to worship the Antichrist will be murdered. They won't repent of their sorceries, which is witchcraft and substance abuse. Listen to the words of Henry Morris, and I quote, during the awful days of the tribulation, the breakdown of law and order, will mean that there will be no more restraints on drug use. Furthermore, the fearful judgments on the earth will drive many to drugs as a form of escapism. The merchants of the earth will gladly cooperate because of the great profits involved, unquote. There's also, they won't repent of their fornication, that sexual relations outside of marriage, and the last one, thefts. Listen to Barnhouse on the thefts. Listen what he says, and I quote, "The last crime in a category is that of theft. This is a statement of general and abounding dishonesty, the obliteration of moral distinctions, the disregard of others' rights, and practice of fraud, theft and deceit wherever it is possible. In our day, corruption in high places gives the example to all classes. The only wrong consists in getting caught," unquote. Conclusion. We can clearly see this unfolding in our day, which means the world could be very close to the tribulation, which means the rapture is very close. Very close. Christ is going to return to gather together those who know him as Savior. The rest are going to be left here to enter in to the tribulation period. How devastating would that be to be left behind in the tribulation period? You look around at what it's like today. This is nothing compared to what's coming. You need Jesus Christ. You need to put your faith in his finished work, repent of your sin, and trust him as your Savior. I'm out of time today. Again, I want to thank you for joining us on the Joy of Discovery radio program. If you would ever desire to hear or have a copy of whatever we have on our radio program, all you need to do is write to us. Whenever you write, be sure to include the date of the program that you desire. Write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Emler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That's Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Emler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Till we meet around the radio or we see you in church, might you have a blessed week.